WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. And joining us right now here on the hotline, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by FineMassMoney.gov, your friend and mine, the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. I'm talking, of course, about Brian Scalabrine. Scal joining us here for the first time in the new iteration of the show for the first time of this season. Scal, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to talk with you, Scal, and thanks for coming on a beatdown to start the year. Let's go through it all. I mean, from the ring ceremony, the banner getting raised, Tatum saying let's do it again, and then as soon as the game tipped off, basically first possession, the barrage started and it never stopped. Did that go about as well as it possibly could have? I mean, could anything have been better last night? Breaking the record,
yeah,
maybe.
Breaking the record. Sam Hauser in the interview, he's like, I think we're the first team on ring night to win by 30 and get booed by the crowd. I thought that was hilarious. But, no, they look great. And I think you could talk about the threes because, you know, these guys are going to make shots. They're going to take a ton of them. But it's the ease at which they did everything, the appropriate aggressiveness. You know, when they needed to attack, they did. The star players seemed to find that great balance. I thought last year at times, as good as they were, what is the balance of being unstoppable offensively and, you know, you go out there and you move the ball? And I thought Brown and Tatum did that well. If I was being critical, which is really hard to in that game because we dominated, you know, you saw Joe Mazzulla use Tatum with that starting group. That means Jaylen Brown's going to be playing with, you know, a quote-unquote, you know, kind of like a second team. I'd like to see Jaylen Brown, like, continue to show, you know, the world that he's a top 10 player by – you know, kind of doing the same thing that Tatum did, taking the reins, getting downhill, attacking, moving the ball, knocking down shots. I think he's trending that direction, but I think that's going to be a real key to having a tremendous season is going to be to both those star players being able to carry each group kind of on their own.
Scal, do you believe that Tatum indeed had a hitch in his shot, and do you believe last night's performance puts any talk of that to bed?
I mean, I thought he had a hitch in his shot throughout his career, and I think he's working up to get rid of it. And I think it looks a lot quicker, a lot smoother. He's sitting down in the stance more. His body movement's like absolutely zero until he snaps his wrist. So, I mean, it's slight, and he's an all-NBA player. But I really like this about him. He went to the offseason and said, you know what, I need to work on my shooting. I want to improve my shooting. And when you can improve the speed of your shooting, that means you can shoot the ball off the dribble with more confidence. And that's what it looked like in that game. You know, like as soon as a guy dropped his hands, that ball was gone. And, I mean, there is very, very, very little body movement when he shoots that. So I do think his shot from just a form standpoint has improved.
Scal, the Knicks were supposed to be the team that challenged the Celtics this year. I know it's 1 of 82, but that was a pretty decisive victory. And the Knicks, according to a lot of people, and me included, and I think you'd agree with this too, they went out in the offseason and tried to put a roster together that was going to be able to compete with the Celtics or knock off the Celtics. Same with the 76ers. A couple other teams had some big offseasons here as well. Is any team going to challenge the Celtics this year? And if so, who?
Well, going to the Knicks first, right? Like I said it before, and people thought that I am wrong. I thought they were better last year. Like I thought their identity was kind of tied up into offensive rebounds with Isaiah Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson. And obviously Mitchell Robinson's not out there. And I know you go get Karl Anthony Towns, who's a better quote-unquote player. You know, he's making $50 million. He's, you know, he's a better offensive player. But I just thought that their identity was something that was difficult for us to handle. So I wasn't one of these guys that look at the Knicks and say, oh, that's going to be the toughest team for us. Like right now, unless they don't have a fabric, they don't have an identity, they have to kind of figure that whole thing out. So once they do, then we'll reevaluate the Knicks. Philly, they're always injury battled, right? So I don't look at Philly right now as a competition for the Celtics. One team I think is kind of a sneaky team is Orlando. I think Orlando could be, like, fun, could be something there if we were to match up in the playoffs. I don't know if we'll match up in the playoffs, but, I mean, the way the Celtics are playing right now, I mean, obviously, yes, it's a small sample size. It's one game they played amazing. But if they're doing that and Tatum and Brown are playing like this, then they're not going to lose this year.
Oftentimes this time of year we talk about, oh, things that could go wrong, what are the challenges a team faces, but This is a defending champion that has guys in the prime of their careers, guys that are now going into the second season playing as a core. Where do you think there's room for this Celtics team to be significantly better maybe this year as it chases another title?
Yeah, I think there's room for the bigs to be more consistent. So that'll be Cornette, Tillman, Kata, right? Like those guys. They're going to get amazing opportunities with Porzingis out and Al Horford. You know, they're going to manage his minutes. But I think there's room. It's not about being better. Like, Cornette's awesome, and Kata has had his moment. It's about being consistent. And then there's the thing, like, I can attest to this because I wasn't that great of an NBA player, but when things aren't going your way, can you still be a good player? Can you still contribute to winning? And that's, like, the next step to being a guy that's, like, you know, a fringe player, a guy that's kind of finally finding your footing in the NBA. But those guys, when things are going bad, when Kata is going against Joel Embiid and he's got two fouls against him, can he right the ship, right? And that's where I think, like, there could be some room for improvement. I think Hauser and Pritchard are kind of past that. Like, if they miss a few shots, I don't think they'll be gun-shy. But the big position will be a position that they can kind of shore up, and they'll have an opportunity to kind of play through those mistakes. Like, at times, usually when you're healthy, Cornette has a bad 2 minutes. He probably doesn't get back in, right? Well, now he's going to have to kind of fix it as he goes, fix it on the fly, as we would say.
Scal, we haven't really talked to you since the end of the season. So with an offseason that saw a ton of spending, extending guys, giving everybody basically a contract, bringing back almost the entire roster, you think back to some of these other dynasties over the years, you know, the Warriors bringing in Durant or the Celtics getting Walton in the 80s and, you know, the Kawhi Leonard coming to the Spurs and he was drafted. It's a little different, but it always seemed like there was not so much the idea of Rodman going to the Bulls. It was always some sort of addition being made to keep things going and to keep that up instead of just bringing everybody back and running it back almost exactly the same way. Do you sort of subscribe to that? And how did you feel about an offseason where it was really just about retaining the entire team? We're losing you, Scal. Your phone's cutting out. Do we have you? Let's go ahead and try. I think we lost you. I think we lost Scal. Are you there?
No, I got you guys.
We got you now. That sounds better now. Okay. All right, stay wherever you are.
I think what's amazing about that is, you know, like Hauser, Pritchard, like those guys could want a bigger role on a different team, but they did pay them. They paid them like they would get the money that they would get on a different team. So that's kind of where I feel like that's a sacrifice that most people have to make. A guy on a low money contract plays really well, usually got to let that guy go. But for whatever reason, the Celtics wanted to make sure they signed all their guys. I thought that was really unique.
We lost him again. All right, I guess we're gonna have to we're gonna have to pull the ripcord on Scal here, unfortunately, and that's too bad because I did want to hear his answer to that, and we did get part of it, but unfortunately, the phone's just not cooperating with us here. Anyway, that was Brian Scalabrine joining us here on WEEI. Hopefully, next week he'll have a better phone. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by FindMassMoney.gov.
Gotta get a landline.
Yeah, landline would be good. I don't know. These things happen. Hey, listen, it's live radio. It happens all the time. And Jonathan Jones, he's called us with a good phone one time in 7 weeks. So, you know.
And he's usually like 40 yards down the hallway.
He's right there. I don't know. We don't know where Scal's coming from or where he's calling from. But hopefully next week the reception's a little bit better. Anyway, lots to dissect there. I do think that for people like Scal, Drew Carter, you know, the guys doing the radio broadcast, everybody sort of close to the team, Abby Chin, all these people, you know, Tom Giles yesterday, you're not going to get a lot of picking this roster apart. There's not going to be a lot of that. There's not much really you can do there. And I understand. I mean, these are people working for the team, getting paid by the team in some cases. But either way, even for people like us, even for people like, you know, Jones and guys like that, even though gentler Jones these days, it's hard to find anything. It's hard to really pull on any threads here. It's hard to push any buttons when it comes to this team. They look like they're going to be that dominant.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to ask him next before his phone cut out was Joe Mazzulla. You know, like, he's kind of been the poster child this offseason for this team. Sure. And, like, whatever their mentality is going to be, and no pressure because we're going to die or put the bullet between my eyes. And I just wonder, is he the right guy? Is he just the right, wherever he, and I think Scal would say yes. I would be absolutely stunned if he had any concern about Joe Mazzulla. But this is a transitional period for Joe Mazzulla. He's no longer a good story, right? He's no longer, wow, he was thrown into the mix and he did a really good job. And then the next year, as you brought up yesterday, seemed like they may have had coaches in waiting in case it went south with him. And now you're like, okay, he's the guy. This team is going to go where he goes. And it may be perfect. Like, I'm not necessarily saying it's not perfect, but I have heard some people, I don't know if you have friends, whatever, that wonder, is he genuine? Like, how much of this, is this really Mazzulla? Him, or is there an act there? It's sort of like Casas and these other guys that are so weird, you wonder, are you really that weird, or do you do it to get a reaction? Do you like the way it plays?
Yeah. I mean, during the first year, you remember, when they asked him about that, what did you say to Jason Tatum when he missed the shot at the end of the game? I said, I love you. Remember?
Right.
Like, that was a very, it wasn't, and I think that he's that kind of intense of a guy. But as more time went on and you saw him, you know, doing jiu-jitsu with his friend climbing all over him and busting his face up, diving into the stands and the scrimmages and pickup games and
closing
stuff like that.
Out on threes when the other team calls a timeout.
Right. I mean, a lot of it's, I think, just the way he is. He seems like a very
intense
person. I think he's kind of a weird guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way to, he has to be weird.
Yeah.
Now, if you're genuinely weird, that can be perfect. I mean, I think Ernie Adams is weird, and it worked for 2 days. I think Bill Belichick is weird. I wouldn't say Alex Cora is weird. Like, there's different guys that do it different ways, and some of the weird ones are whatever. They're just unique. And
Mike McDaniel's kind of weird. Like, you know, there's weird
that's
guys
another
around
guy.
There, sure.
And it's
not going great for him right now, but yeah. So.
Well, I mean,
lost his quarterback.
If Mazzulla loses Tatum, it might not go well for him either.
Sure, absolutely.
But I just...
And him coaching a bad team, I think, would not be a good fit because, you know, you'd be like, what's with this guy?
You know?
Like, what are you doing?
I agree.
When you lead him to a championship and everybody seems to be buying into what you're preaching and you're not getting a lot of pushback, Brad Stevens got pushback. You know, like, he got pushback. Ime Udoka, not so much, but they had to fire him because of that whole thing that went down. Brad Stevens was a good coach. I mean, he was considered coach of the year. He was considered a hot, young, up-and-coming coach, and he got pushback from these guys, from Kyrie, from all of them. And I think that's not necessarily a coincidence. They have a guy now, and maybe early on, they thought, oh, we got a substitute teacher. We can just do whatever we want. Joe Mazzulla, to his credit, has not comported himself like that.
No, and if anything, the reports were that the training camp workouts were hellacious.
Yes.
That they were really hard.
Yeah.
And guys
were
like, I wish I hadn't come back so early. I don't really want to be here right now.
Looked like they were a better conditioned team last night.
Absolutely.
100%. 100%.
Now, easy. The Patriots were better conditioned and taking them to the hill in Cincinnati
certainly
on opening
were.
Day.
They certainly
so,
were.
But, you know, the big difference is... Celtics got a lot more talent.
Yeah.
They're the
Celtics
more talented team
won
every
the championship
time.
Last year. They weren't a four-win team last year.
And every
year.
Time they take the court this year, unlike the Patriots, they're the more talented team. Whereas the Patriots, because they don't get to play the Panthers, are always the less talented team.
Yep, 100%. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, first we'll have Jackson tell you what's trending, and then we'll get into Mazzulla ball. Joe Mazzulla had some weird comments after the game. We'll talk about how basketball has evolved to the thing that we have right now with all these three-pointers and the 3-and-D, and we'll look at the Celtics by those numbers, along with your phone calls right after this. Joe Mazzulla being asked about the floor said it tasted like blood or that it didn't taste like blood, but he wanted it to taste like blood. It's like, what the hell? What are you talking about?
What does blood taste like, Joe? And why do you taste it so much?
I mean, yeah. It's,
nobody
like,
makes me bleed my own blood.
Does a lot of jujitsu, so maybe.
You think that's it?
Takes a little pop in the mouth, you know? You get a little.
No, he doesn't often look like he's been beat up.
No, not often, but who knows? You know, I mean, that's a question for him. I wouldn't
people
know.
That reference the taste of blood, sorry, Joe, weird to me.
What about like MMA fighters?
If you reference the taste of blood, you're weird to me.
Okay.
It doesn't mean like you haven't. We've all done it. Like you like have something and you like just like and it tastes like metal, I think, or whatever. I don't know. I remember it. But
now you're referencing the taste of blood.
Yeah, but somebody who brings up like they wanted something to taste like blood.
That's definitely weird, yes.
We were saying in the break, remember Angelina Jolie had the Billy Bob Thornton blood around her neck?
Yes.
Like, blood is weird. It's supposed to stay in a body. It's supposed to be not desired. Unless
nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
When I was a kid,
can you get the Batman Superman line? It's the greatest line ever of the worst movie ever.
What would that be?
What would the line be?
It's when Batman looks at Superman and goes, "Do you bleed?" And Superman flies up and he goes, "You will."
Okay.
It's a good line from a terrible movie.
That was the Ben Affleck and Charlie, Henry Cavill, Cavill or whatever. Yeah, that movie looked really bad.
It just was all over the map. I was so excited to watch it. And I'm not even a Rich Keefe like dork. I'm not. I like comic book heroes, whatever. And it was awful. It was all over the map, too long, too many storylines, didn't actually come to any cool conclusions of any sort. It sucked.
Okay.
But
why were they even mad at each other? Why were Batman and Superman even beefing in the first place?
Well, Batman doesn't trust Superman because he thinks he's all powerful, and at some point, you know, absolute power corrupts and he's going to take over the planet.
Dear Blade.
That's pretty awesome, Andy.
You have to see it because Superman flies off, jackass.
Oh, I'm sorry. Superman flies. That makes it much cooler.
It's a good line, but that's why Batman always keeps kryptonite around. He has like a stock of...
Batman always keeps kryptonite around.
Yeah, to take out Superman if he needs to.
Batman. I have no idea.
Batman doesn't have any superpowers. How is he going to take out Superman without kryptonite?
I didn't know that they were even in the business of taking each other out. I thought they were both on the same side.
No. He doesn't because he's too powerful. He knows if Superman wants
Batman's to... Batman's just kind of a hater, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, just realizes that he could take over the planet anytime he wanted, and people like Batman would be powerless.
Yeah, well, Batman's Superman, like an air marshal. If stuff goes wrong, then he has to, get into action.
I don't want to have to use it, but I got kryptonite,
but
and I know
Superman's
how.
Superman's been the man for 100 years. Like, it's not like he's some new guy.
Everybody's corruptible.
Suddenly just popped onto the scene and started saving the day. Like, Superman's been around longer than Batman has, hasn't he? So what? Batman all of a sudden's like, I don't know about this Superman guy. That's stupid. Yeah. I'd find that whole premise dumb. I'm glad I didn't see that.
You'd want to be... Well, that's not just the movie. That's like the whole story comic book history of Superman and Batman. Yeah.
I didn't even know that those two worlds intersected. I had no idea.
It's a long thing. We can bring Rich Keefe on. Maybe the crossover tomorrow we can delve into
this. Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Because he'll tell you.
I didn't know anything about it.
He'll tell
this.
You probably with more detail and knowledge than I am.
My last, and this is true, and we talked about this on the old show, but my last real foray into comic books was the death of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
When Doomsday beat him up, and then there were those four fake Supermen, and then they brought the real Superman, somehow got brought back to life, and the robot killed the one guy, and then the kid got sent back to for whatever. There was the one guy who was just a guy in a metal suit, and he definitely wasn't Superman, but the other ones all had some sort of weird claim to it. And that was the last time that I really gave a crap about any comic books, and that was the death of Superman.
So you don't watch any of the movies?
Not really.
Really?
Not really. I watched the first Avengers movie, thought it was fine. Haven't really watched anything since then.
Wow.
I know. That's
kind of weird for somebody to be a comic book person at some point in their life.
When I was a kid, I mean, I was into wrestling when I was a kid, too. I don't really care about it anymore, though.
Yeah, but that's a little different. The wrestling, I feel like it's targeted to you when you're a kid, and you...
Oh, but lots of adults are still into wrestling.
No, I know. And also, a lot of people ebb and flow in that world. Like, they have little runs. But you were geeky enough to actually be a comic book guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just everybody's watching it, right? They make $1 billion. Everybody sees every one of those movies, and you didn't see them?
Not really, no.
That's very strange.
I know. And I would like to be into them, but I just feel like, first of all, there's too many. There's too many universes.
Well, that's true.
You know, like, there's all the Spider-Verse and all that crap. Like, I don't have any time for that. You know?
But that wasn't always there in the movies. Like, in the beginning, before it got saturated, it was kind of made sense.
Okay.
Then it went sideways, and you had to be a real dork to enjoy it all.
Maybe I'll give him a shot. I don't know.
Oh, Blood Talk.
Blood Talk. Joe Mazzulla.
Why he's so into blood.
It is pretty weird how into blood he is. Also, not for nothing, but if there was ever any question just going into that game last night that maybe Mazzulla was going to take his foot off the gas on the analytics a little bit, forget it. I mean, this team is married to those analytics, and you saw it right there. And I think it's interesting because over the years, like, the three-point line became a thing in the NBA in, 1979, I want to say? Like, a long, long time ago, longer than I've been alive, like 45 to 50 years ago. And I see people were saying it now, they were saying it during the Golden State run, that, the game's ruined now, everybody's just taking threes, James Harden's out there, he's just shooting threes all the time, no one knows how to play basketball anymore, it's just chucking and ducking. And it's like, it took about 50 years for the game to progress to this, so I don't think it was the three-point line that ruined it, but I also don't think the game's ruined either. What's wrong with shooting threes? What's wrong with long-distance shots?
It's I don't like it.
That's all people do. I think that's cool. I like that there are shooters on all these teams, and I like that big guys are shooting three. I just think that's cool. I guess it's not for everybody. You don't seem to like it, but I think it's a nice development. I don't have any problem with it.
That's one of my easiest, the cliche question, like, if you were a commissioner for a day and could change anything and whatever, I would get rid of the three-point line.
You'd abolish the whole thing.
I hate threes. I think it devalues some of the greatest athletes on the planet. You have some of literally the greatest athletes on the planet, size, speed, everything. and they're just like, yeah, I'm just going to hang out here and shoot what I can do at a gym. Like, if I got good at, you know what I mean? I'm capable of doing that. I want to see you drive and dish and dunk and speed and the dynamic game. And I do. And when you're missing them, and admittedly, some teams like the Celtics, it's not that frequent.
Right.
Those are some of the worst basketball games you'll ever watch. When a team just keeps coming down and shooting
and they're missing
three,
and
bad
sure.
three, bad three, bad three.
And I mean, it's bad when they're missing shots in the mid-range, too. I mean, it's bad regardless,
no, I know,
I think, when a team's having a bad shooting night.
That, like, in the old day, and I come from a different world. I loved Shaq. We talked about this yesterday when we were at the Card Vault over at Big Night Live.
Yes.
Like, I loved Shaq, and that game is gone. That, like, back a guy down. Shaq didn't miss. You know why he didn't miss? Because he backed you down to 1 foot and then ripped the rim down over your head. Like, he didn't miss those. There's no missing. And I do think there's, if you made... Celtics have two guys in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. If they couldn't shoot threes, don't you think that their athleticism and their ability to
yes.
drive would be magnified, maximized?
I think they're better scorers than they are three-point shooters,
right.
if that makes any sense.
But they shoot out there
and
a lot.
And they're good three-point shooters.
Like last night, I mean, how many combined? They probably took 20 threes. 11 for Tatum. Yeah,
yep.
They took 20 threes last night. If you take that away and say, you can't do that, it's not valuable, so don't do it, and they're driving to the rim 20 more times, I'm getting highlights. I'm getting a poster. I'm getting dunks. I'm getting dishes. I'm getting crazy finishes. Like, the one downside is you get a few more free throws, but nobody likes to see anybody shoots free throws, really. It's not really that all exciting.
I'd rather see guys shooting threes than free throws. And I agree with you, but I also think that these things correct themselves. You know, there's going to be ways to defend the three-point
line.
What
is the correction?
Defending the threes differently, zone defenses, things like that. I think there's ways around that, and I think that you're going to see that. You're going to see teams start to do that. Everybody knows that when you play the Golden State Warriors, you have to defend the three-point line. Now, mm-hmm. the Warriors went on a crazy run shooting threes with those two guys. Three guys, really, when Durant got there, too. But, like, you saw that, and you knew that that was part of it. Teams had to go out there and try and defend the three-point line, and they had to try and score different ways. That's why you bring in a Kevin Durant, who can go to the rim. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum's a three-point shooter. He can go to the rim. Finishers, guys who can slash and cut and drive and do all that stuff. I think that that's part of it. I mean, it's team building. It's course corrections, and I do think that that exists. I think that that's out there. You're just defending the three-point line a little more and letting guys drive around you, go into the middle, and deal with our big man. Like, it's simple, I know, and I'm sure I'm saying it in a way that hardcore hoop heads are going to be like, no, I can't do that. You have to do this, this, and this. But you know what I mean. Anything can be defended. Anything can be game planned for, I
see
think.
The run last week, the Patriots, Jags, didn't look like they could defend it.
Well, they're not good
they're
enough.
They're soft.
Yeah.
What do you think about, what if a dunk was worth three? What if you didn't get rid of the three-point shot, but made dunks worth 3 points?
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I feel like fouls would get harder. You'd bring some physicality to the interior game because guys would try to stop you from dunking.
Sure.
Is this a dumb idea? Because it just came to me right in the middle of this discussion. I've literally never thought about it before. If you dunk on someone, it's 3 points.
What about like a breakaway dunk? So all breakaways are three-pointers now?
Okay, there's the flaw in it, I guess.
Yeah.
But maybe that makes sure
like
there's less breakaways.
Like, you always have to have a guy back, you know? Like,
or whatever, or deal with it.
Or
just know that over the course of the game, we're probably both going to have three breakaway dunks.
Having the easiest shot, technically, because a dunk is dunk or a layup, right? Those are considered the
easiest
shots. Unless it's defended. Any shot's defended.
And if it's worth three, you're defending harder.
If you're closer to the basket, it's an easier shot than if you're further away. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's no stupider than putting a guy on second in extra innings in baseball.
All right.
Touche. Modern sports are making changes.
They are.
I'm an advocate for it. I haven't thought it all through, so if it's a dumb idea, text it or call in. But I am saying that instead of getting the three-point shot, because we did have pushback already, three-pointers are cool, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so don't get rid of it.
I love three-pointers.
Just make dunks also worth 3 points. So now guys like Jaylen Brown can decide, am I shooting out here or am I taking it to the rim? Because the points are the same.
I have a new bit idea, Andy's Workshop. You change modern sports in ways that you think would make them better.
Okay, want me to throw another one out there?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I've always thought that the uprights should move in and out during kicks, so it would be more challenging.
All right.
Closer and further apart.
I like it.
Closer, further apart.
Will there always
so
be... Hold on
it.
A second. Wait. They go all the way in?
I love that I got you to think about
they
this.
They go all the way in?
No.
So there's a point where you can't actually kick it through?
No. There would always... No. Have you seen the ones down at Gillette, the skinny ones that they use for practice that are like a third, maybe in the center.
I have seen those, and I wanted to kick a field goal. That you know this. You know
why
I
are you so addicted to wanting to kick a field goal?
Because there
you
we have a studio with a bunch of footballs in it. We have access to an NFL field that we can walk on and off of because there's a little entrance right there. And I want to go on that field and kick a field goal. I don't know why. I just want to.
It's a male urge
to go out there and kick a field goal.
It's not a male urge.
Yes, it is.
It's your urge.
It is, and I am a male, and
don't
it's
act
my
like
urge.
Every male has this urge to kick a field goal.
I think every male who is near a football field with a football looks up at those uprights and think, I want to kick a field goal. I think that is the lamest position on a team.
Most people hate kickers.
Yeah, but if you see a thing up there, you don't have any desire to want to kick a ball through it?
No.
Really?
None.
I think you're wrong.
It's so much harder than you
think
you're
wrong.
Have
Mike
you ever
knows
done
what
it?
I'm talking about. Yes, I have done it, actually.
So you're going to get, like, juice. Like, you're going to be, like, jazzed up to kick a field goal.
Hell yeah, I'll be jazzed up to kick a field goal.
Now,
on
if you
Gillette
said
Stadium Field, hell yeah.
The feeling of a dunk, the feeling of a home run at Fenway Park.
What am I going to dunk on? I can't dunk. I can kick a field goal. I can't dunk.
I'm not sure you can kick a field goal.
I guarantee
I want to see
you
the
I
video.
Can kick a field goal. We'll do it next time we're at Gillette. I want there. Well, first of all, I don't want to get kicked out and banned for life. So we're gonna have to clear it with somebody, or maybe we'll just ask forgiveness instead of permission.
We promise.
I'll ask Matt Morrell. I'll be like, "Hey, Matt, can we kick a field goal?" It's like, well, the Patriots told me I could.
What if we just promise to do like one positive hour-long segment in exchange for you doing a field goal?
I think that would work.
They need all the good coverage they can get right now because the Sharks are, despite what Adam Schefter seems to think.
And I say field goal, I'm talking like an old extra point. I'm talking like
like a 25
right
yard field
there,
goal.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not trying to break any records here, but I do think I could do it.
I just
and
would
I'd
get
like
no
to.
Buzz
just,
out of it.
I want to. I,
so
I
like you, why don't you go
it.
To game day? They do the game day $100,000 kick. I mean, you're not a college student, so
that's
I'm think
true.
You're
I'm not
eligible, but.
And I'd like to, but I think it's kind of tough to get on that list. You
just
know?
Get there early.
But how about those kids? Like five kids in a row have nailed the thing, right?
That's my point. It's not that impressive.
Well, they all have the urge to want to do it is the point.
No, they have the urge to win $100,000.
They'd want to do it even if it was for free. If there was a line and there was no money involved and you went to college game day and said, everybody just line up and kick a field goal, no money, you just get to go kick the field goal, there would be a line down the block and around the stadium. I guarantee it.
The least enjoyable thing I can think of in all of sports.
Have you never kicked a field goal before?
I mean, I've tried.
And you didn't. That's why. See, because
I didn't get any joy out of it.
You couldn't get it up
in high school.
Really?
Yeah. Not well. Mm. The band used to play that when it would like spin around short. It was kind of demoralizing.
And here's
actually.
The kickoff.
That was kind of what it was. But no, I mean, if you said throw a fastball, hit a home run, dunk, hit a three on an NBA court, if you. Anything you listed would come before kick
I'd
want to
hit a three on an NBA court, too, which I've done before, by the way.
Oh, boy.
With my old ego job.
On this guy.
Hey, listen, it was a nice one, too. I hit it right in Ayla Brown's face. And then she busted my ass on the face fast break on the way back after that. She made me pay for that one because I was getting a little cocky out there in one of our client games that we had. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to your phones. Talk to Joe and Melrose. Who wants to defend Gerard Mayo? Go ahead, Joe.
Whoa, we need some.
I do. But yeah, before I two quick asides. One, I agree with Andy. They should move the 3-point line back a foot and eliminate the corner 3-pointer. And two, the superhero versus supervillain that started the whole genre was Revenge of the Sith, Yoda versus Darth Sidious. That's where all the superhero versus supervillain movies came from. But anyway, Gerard Mayo, I do want to defend. I mean, we all knew this was going to be a tough roster. I mean, Bob Kraft went on a podcast and basically admitted he fired Belichick. So Belichick's now firing back at the team and firing back at Gerard Mayo. They came into the season with a roster of only about like 40, 42 real NFL players. They got really hurt. Peppers is off the team now, and Javon Bentley's hurt, and Christian Barmer's hurt. So that is the difference between being a number one rushing defense and being one that's in the mid-20s.
Wait, hang up.
We all knew
Hold on. Sorry, Joe. So that would explain some of the performance issues. What explains the ineptitude of leadership and culture, the social media, the finger pointing, the police blotter, the whole thing that's going awry, the head coach who one day says something and the next day has to beep, 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 back it up? How do you explain all that away?
Well, losing. I mean, losing explains all that.
That makes that happen?
Well, I mean, it happened before, but when you're winning, it kind of goes under the radar. I mean, like Aaron Hernandez murdered two people, but like kind of got swept under the rug a little bit.
I would say that didn't get swept under the rug. I think that was very publicized, and there was a helicopter following him all up and down 995. So I don't think that got swept under the rug at all. But I kind of understand what he's saying about expectations for this team coming into the season. And now all of a sudden everybody's like, well, they're not winning games. Like, right. Yeah, we know they're not winning games. We didn't think
they were
going to win.
But that's not my issue. Right. I told you earlier, I think that's the least of their problems. I don't think all of this finger pointing happened in the past. I don't think all of this social media crap happened. I can tell you examples where things were done, and I can't think of the name because I'm CTE Andy, but they brought in a receiver who did a Antonio Brown type thing. He got here on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday and immediately posted like, oh, I'm live in my new locker room, and was like showing the locker room and everybody around him. And it was up for like seconds before he was taken out by a sniper, essentially, and it was removed and it was covered. Like, that stuff was not allowed. That stuff was frowned. That hindered your development with the team. Now everybody seems quite happy and and they don't even backtrack. KJ Osborne today. Oh, what happened? No, everything I posted was 100% accurate. I'm just moving on. Do you want to be traded? That's an alley-oop. I'm not touching that one. I'm here now or something. Like, the guys are just saying whatever they damn well please.
What
did
he mean
by
it being an alley-oop, by the way? I'm not quite sure.
Like a lob ball. Of course he wants to be traded. You're asking me to dunk that home.
He's saying, yes, I want to be
traded.
Absolutely. Okay, well,
that wasn't
clear,
but yes. And he chuckled when he said it, I've been told. I've been trying to get the audio, but nobody down there apparently pressed record today, so I couldn't get the audio.
That would have been nice.
Yes, we're in sort of an audible medium here that we can use audio. It's very beneficial.
Everyone's like, oh, you guys never go down to the locker room. Well, if we did, we would have gotten the
you're damn right. I would have gotten the wide receiver saying he wanted to be traded. But that's the way I took it, like a lob ball.
Yeah.
You know, you lobbed it up for me and you think I'm going to spike it home. No. I'm not spiking that home to Kembe Mutombo.
Even though I want to. I'm not.
Even though I want
to.
I'm here now and I'm going to do what I'm asked.
617-779-7937, your phone number. We'll get to more of your phone calls. And when we come back, LeBron James got his big moment checking into the game with Bronny. We'll get to that right after these words.
What a tremendous sports moment that was.
Bronny James.
I'm starting to see why your kid doesn't listen to you.
Maybe the worst player in the NBA by far. I mean, like, we're talking, he played 3 minutes. There were three players in the team, by the way, who didn't get to play at all in that game last night. Cam Reddish was a DMP, coach's decision. Who was the other guy? Maxwell Lewis didn't play. But you gotta have Bronny check into the game so that LeBron can have his little photo op moment there. I mean, come on, like you're talking about an end of the bench scrub who did not earn his way onto this team in any way other than the fact that he's LeBron James's kid. And I'm sorry, I cannot get excited about this. It doesn't warm my heart to see the father and son out there. I heard Curtis this morning saying, he don't like it because, you know, I don't even know what his point was, but he was saying that the only reason why a person wouldn't like this is because they can't do it themselves. I don't think that's not why I don't like it. It's not because I can't bring my son in to be a host with me here on the air. If he became...
He's welcome anytime.
If he's 2 years old, so it'd be nice if he started talking
interesting.
First. It would definitely have some hot takes on Thomas the Train, as well as Coco Melon and Titi Po, the Korean version of Thomas the Train. Were you familiar with that one, by the way?
There's a Korean version of Thomas the Train?
It's not really, but it's like a Korean train show, and it's dubbed over in English. And it is on in my house all the time. The theme song to that is just constantly playing in my house. And in
are
my
there
brain.
Toys?
I think so, but I haven't seen them.
If you're a
Target.
Good dad, you'd probably look around for those.
Well, we've gotten there's a lot of Thomas the Train toys in my house. There's lots and lots
of
those.
Well, maybe he wants, what is it, TT?
TT Po.
TT Po.
TT Po. TT Po. Dun, 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 dun. Going fast on the tracks. Dun, 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 dun. TT Po. It's the worst. It's so bad. Anyway,
it's worse than Thomas the Train? Because I was never a big fan of Thomas the Train.
Thomas the Train is the godfather compared to TT Po.
Okay.
I mean, really, it's not even close. I'll take Thomas the Train a million times over TT Po. Either way. The idea that this is some sort of touching moment, it was touching when it was the Griffies. Like, that was one of the best baseball players ever playing with his father, who was also a good player and who earned the right to be on that team and deserved to be out there. Instead of this nepo baby, you're only here because you're my son crap, which really, I mean, what? Is every single great player and Steph Curry's kid's going to be in there playing with him? They're going to carve a spot out for him? Michael Jordan's kid didn't come and play with him? Like, I don't get this. I don't get why people think this is so great. I think it's really, really lame, and I think it makes Bronny James look like just a little dad-ass boy who will do whatever he wants. Brunson is getting this make-a-wish kid, basically, a trip to the NBA. That's pretty much what this is.
Depot, having fun on the road. Little train, Depot, going fast down the tracks.
It's a lot more peppy than you indicated. I actually liked it better than your first version. You were very, like, monotone.
Yeah, I know.
There's definitely pep to it. I like it.
No question about it.
I'd love to push back on you here. I don't get angry about it because I do think to the victor goes the spoils, the Jordan rules, the great players, whatever. Do I think it's remarkable or great? No, I think it's clear it is what it is. It's nepotism, and it's been that all along. It's not the Griffies. I actually think that made it weird for me because I really like Ken Griffey Jr., and they were in the building. They thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
So that made me like, should I think it's cooler? Because they think it's cool. Because I could see them saying, wait a minute, we were both great. We played together because we both deserve to play together.
Yeah.
I feel like from their perspective,
These guys are frauds, right? Yeah. Bronny's a fraud.
But they think it's cool.
Fraudulent.
Mm. Well, yeah, they think it's cool.
Did they, or did they get paid to be there?
Well, there was a whole thing. You know, there's a personal relationship. So LeBron's first year somewhere, he lived with one of the Griffies because they knew each other.
He was in Cincinnati, so Ohio, that makes sense.
Something.
I guess,
they lived together. Like, they have a personal relationship
that goes back
multiple decades. So that kind of obviously sways their opinion a little bit. But I didn't get it out of the way. I actually think it's good coaching. Just get it out of the way. Just get it done. Get the photo op done. Have the Griffies come over, arm around arm. Let's get it done. And whether J.J. Redick can coach or not, this, I actually think, was smart to get it done in the first game. It was in the second quarter, right? Even in the first half, you didn't even wait. And they won the game.
They did win the game, which I was not. I thought the Timberwolves were going to smack them around. And Anthony Davis just went crazy in that game. Anthony Davis, just saying this, and I saw this online too, and it's true. Anthony Davis is one of those guys who's not this every night, but every once in a while, he looks like the best player in the world. Like,
oh yeah,
like just absolutely unstoppable, best player in the league. He can't do anything about it. And that was one of those nights last night. He just looked completely unstoppable. 36 points, 16 rebounds. Julius Randle had no answer for him whatsoever. LeBron didn't even have that great of a game. He only had 16 points in 35 minutes.
Because he's 107.
Three minutes off the bench, went 0 for 2, missed a 3, had one rebound, and was in minus 5. But yeah, great photo op there. I'm so happy that LeBron James got to have a nice photo op for him and his kids there.
There is so much hate in your heart.
So lame. You don't think that's lame?
Oh, I do think it's lame.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something worthy of celebration. It just doesn't really bother me. I think that happens in this world. People do things when they get power and notoriety and they reach a certain level. You can bring your kids, you can do X, you can like, it just happens all the time. I don't know why it bothers you so. It's the way the world works around you.
I know, but
maybe it's because you don't have any pull and yoke or whatever, and you can't do these things.
No, it's not that. I don't think that if I
jealous?
Did, that I would want to be placing me and my kids in positions that they didn't earn. I don't think that would be a good reflection on me, and it wouldn't be fair to them either. I wouldn't do that. I honestly believe that. I wouldn't do that.
Even if you could get them a guaranteed contract.
I mean, what, do they need money? That James family, they're hurting for money right now? Come on.
So you definitely didn't like the Nike commercial, the pouring of Fruity Pebbles in his car, Bronny's car, before the first.
I didn't see that.
It was like LeBron is like,
he poured Fruity
sunroof.
Pebbles in his car?
Yeah, and he's like, up to the windows. And then he's like, and he pulls out, and the kid's coming out to open his car. He's like, don't be late for the game, Rook. And he takes off. And he's like, you're too old for this, old man.
And he opened the door.
It was kind of funny.
You probably wouldn't like it
because you seem to be very negative in this area in general right now, the tone, but I kind of laughed.
No, I thought it was lame, but I would have loved the commercial about it. that would have really made it cool to me. 617-779.
Oh, there it is. You can watch on Twitch
793-7.
Right now.
There's your phone number. Oh, okay. All right. That's.
See, I knew you'd hate it.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, you okay. Cranky.
Nice sweater, Brian.
Coot.
He looks like Mr. Rogers. 617-779-7937. Jay is in North Carolina. He's been waiting a long time. Go ahead, Jay.
Sure have. Hey, you guys.
Hey, Jay.
I hope the Bruins don't emulate the Patriots. I mean, they've got the Bruins have a good coach and a good team. Can't say the same for the Patriots. I think the Patriots are playing for a number one pick. And like Bob Dylan said, you can't win with a losing hand. But you guys mentioned blood. I wish the Patriots would play like they're after it, for God's sakes. And I'm really concerned for Drake May because the offensive line sucks. I hope he's not lambed to the slaughter. But as I say, little odd Fauntleroy, I ain't coming in on Drake May. These guys are 6'6", 300 pounds. and they don't mean him the best.
No, no, they don't, Jay. But I'll say this. It's been a different offensive line his first two games, and he's done a pretty good job of getting the ball out quickly, mm-hmm. of beating the rush, of seeing where it's coming from, moving when he needs to, rushing when he has to, and taking off. I'm not worried about Drake May behind this offensive line anymore. I was at one point. I think it really has more to do with the fact that Brissett, even though he was running around in those first couple of games, was holding the ball too long. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, that's, you know, it's the part of his game that was not conducive to having a bad old line, and this is a guy who over the course of his career, when he did get starts, got sacked all the time. He led the league in getting sacked that was first year in Indy when he started. After, I think it was after Andrew Luck, right after he retired. And why did he retire? Because his offensive line was getting them killed. And he had his pancreas carved up by his ribs or something. Something crazy like that happened. I know I probably got that wrong, but you know what I mean.
Doesn't sound right.
I don't think that was it, but it was something bad. I remember it was one of his organs ended up, he broke his rib and it cut his organ. Not that organ, but one of his...
Jesus, you're all over the map.
One of his internal organs is what I meant. But either way, that's neither here nor there. I think...
Drake May has gotten rid of the ball really well. If you watched either of the Orlovsky or the Chase Daniel videos, they were emphasizing, like, one-step, two-step ball. One-step, two-step ball. Like, get rid of it. Oh, they're showing the receiver. He's even, but he's throwing him open, or he's throwing to a spot. He's reading the coverage. There's no doubt he has gotten rid of that. Now, I never really feared... for his safety. The line stinks. The line still stinks. Mm-hmm. But he's a football player. He's an athlete. His line wasn't great last year at North Carolina.
Right.
It's just, and I know there's better defenders chasing him, bigger guys, but we've seen it. He's run. He had that one little high step one where he got his feet out of there and then picked up the yards. He's not afraid to dive for the sticks. I just, he's a football player. He's an athlete. And he's a pretty big guy. Like, he's probably not quite as thick as Jacoby Brissett, but it is what it is. You play quarterback in the NFL. You're going to have to get hit, and you're going to have to get up after you get hit.
Yep. You mentioned the Bruins, by the way. Ugh. Not a great start for these Boston Bruins, who got blanked by the Predators. That was their first win of the season, I think. I think they were 0-4 coming into that game. Like, the Predators suck. And they blanked you last night. And
they blanked you.
They did blank you.
They took you out back and blanked you.
Nobody really showed up in that game. Maybe you could say Swayman because he only gave up the 3 goals on 41 shots or whatever. He had a decent game in net. But you can't win 0-0. I mean, that's the point. And that top line, Lindholm -3, Marchand -2, Pasternak -2, McAvoy -2. Their best players, their best lines are getting scored on right now. This is not a good situation that the Bruins are in. And I don't know how well coached they are either. So we can maybe table that for tomorrow and circle back to the Bruins.
Oh, I look forward to your anger tomorrow.
At some point. I probably will still be angry, but either way, it was not a good night for your Bruins, and definitely overshadowed by the Celtics and their bombardment of the New York Knicks. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls, and we'll reset on Jerod Mayo feeling the heat. What can he do about it? How can Jerod Mayo save this season? We'll get to that next.